Okay, brethren, let me hear more.
I was reminded of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. We can't even think it.
Can't even imagine
Can't
how
even
good.
imagine it.
If we ever got to heaven, we surely would not want to come back.
I need to comment on that a little bit because so many Christians quote that eye hath not seen, we can't know. They stopped one sentence too soon. The very next sentence says, but God hath revealed it
Yield
unto
it to
us
us.
by his Spirit.
Yes, hallelujah.
And also, I want to comment on that cherubim guarding the garden. He's got a flaming sword. So we can get back in there. We can now. But we have to go through the flaming sword, and the fire is the element of change. Fire changes whatever it touches. So when you're changed by the Spirit of God, we can go back into that garden and have communion with God again right now. We don't have to wait for the end of time. So that's available to us right now.
Hallelujah.
It's God's goal for us also.
Thank you, Mike. I'm reminded also of what Jesus said to the thief that repented when he asked him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And also his first statement is, we deserve what we're getting. In other words, we're rotten sinners, we're terrible men. But Lord, would you remember me? And what Jesus said to him, he didn't say, I find it interesting. He didn't say, today you will be with me in heaven. He didn't use that term. He said, paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. So the thief got into paradise. We know he got there. And paradise is not temporary. It's not like purgatory. Amen. That you get to try it out for a little bit and see if you like it. It's forever. It's permanent. Oh, by the way, the verse about Luke. No, where is it? The one about the mansions. John 14. John 14. I forgot to point this out. Here it is. John 14. Now, where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, go over to verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you realize that word abode is exactly the same word as the one that is mansions in verse 2. So if we were to read this verse 23, the same translation that they put in verse 2, he would say, we will come and make our mansion with him. Same word, exactly the same word. It's just translated into two different English words. And
I got it, Mike.
the word mansion is probably not the best translation. You should have used the word dwelling place up here in verse 2. Would have been a better word. I don't know, maybe mansion didn't mean the same thing back when King James guys were doing this. Maybe mansion just meant a little house. I don't know. But today it means something entirely different. It means a great big multi-million dollar thing that a big evangelist down in Texas owns.
I've got a question for you, Mark. When Jesus told that thief, instead of saying, "You'll be with me in heaven today," he said, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." What do you think the difference was possibly between heaven and paradise?
Well, because there are lower realms of heaven. Heaven is just a spiritual place, okay? It could be a low spiritual place, like what we saw in Revelation 12. There was a wonder in heaven, a woman, you know, clothed in the sun and travailing, and the big dragon was also in heaven. Well, the thief, he needed to get out of that realm. He was going to something a lot better. And he was going to be with Christ in that higher realm of heaven. So it was paradise. Paradise, see, the Garden of Eden was paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden when that comes. Oh, there's another one I want to read. Oh, my goodness. How could I have forgotten all these? The heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Where is it? Where's all the dimensions of this heavenly city? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Chapter 21. And verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Amen. Now, can this be a natural? This is the New Jerusalem. This is the holy city that's coming down from heaven to the earth.
You're touching that, and it's and then only
sorry. Oh, nice.
Who's unmuted here? All right, do some math on this and tell me how big this thing is. A furlong is 600 feet. We're talking the kind of measurement that we use here in America. 600 feet. So 12,000 furlongs is 7,200,000 feet, which is 1,363.6 miles. Or we can put it in kilometers of 2,194 kilometers. Now, this is four square. That means it's as tall, as wide, as every direction, every dimension. Let me tell you why this cannot be a natural thing. Where are you going to set this thing that is 1,363 miles long? And as wide as it is, where will you find room for that on earth? It's spiritual language. Not only that, the thing would stick up in the sky over 1,000 miles. It can't be natural. Oh, you're going to set it on the Pacific Ocean. Well, it'll squash all the water out of the ocean, and the you know up on dry land, the water will come up what, 10 feet, 20 feet, whatever. It's spiritual. Well, I heard a brother say one time, well, okay, there isn't room for it, but it's going to be a satellite, and it's going to be in orbit, in synchronous orbit, and it's always going to be up there in the sky, just over Israel, and it'll orbit there, and it'll always be in the right orbit. Oh, come on, guys. This is not what it's. People, I tell you, you get into end time teaching, and there is so much carnal thinking. And Christian brethren have been eating this thing, and they come into some good teaching, and they don't know what to do with it. It destroys their hope, it destroys their heaven. But it's better. You can't believe that the spiritual thing is so much better than the natural thing, no matter how good you want to believe the natural thing is. All right, I've said enough.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
When you earlier when you said about the disciples asking what will be a reward, and Jesus says it will have a 100-fold reward, and you said what's that going to be like? And talking about the kingdom of God, heaven, that's awaiting us. It's hard for us to imagine, but think about how good it's going to be. Think about a peace that we have not known here on earth, except in the Spirit of God. Think about a time in your life where there's not only no pain and no suffering physically, but mentally, no worries, no concerns. Think about n no troubles at all in your life. Total perfect peace. And that's what I think, heaven's going to be like. You'll never have to encounter anything that disturbs you. We know that the kingdom of God, the scripture says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The problem is that we're not always in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, where it says about we are right now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's true, but that is a theology, that's our theological position, but not necessarily our experiential position. Because unless we can stay in that place in the Holy Spirit, where we encounter an total peace, total lack of any troubles, total concerns for anything in our life other than dwelling on Christ and all of his goodness, that's what awaits us in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Brother Titus, you had something?
Yes. The question that Bro Mike asked, I have always thought about it, and that difference has always been on my mind because the angle of my thought is Jesus, when he told the thief, he said, "Today." Now, what brought the thought into my heart is that Jesus Christ, we try to understand that he died that day, but the thief did not die the same day he died. Because when the Roman soldiers came, the thieves were still alive. And because the following day was the Sabbath, they had to bring those people on the cross down. So they had to break their legs. I don't know whether they didn't want them to run away or they want them to die quickly. But for whatever reason, they had to break their legs. So they say that when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. So, but he told the thief that today he would be with me in paradise. And the thief did not die. So Jesus Christ cannot be a politician that will say one thing and do another. So if he said today he will be with me in paradise, it cannot be to be with him in heaven that we understand as heaven. So paradise must be an experience. And what came to me was, you know, another place in Revelation said, he that overcometh will I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I think he gave him eternal life. So for me, as I understood that place, that gave me a little bit of an answer, is that paradise is the experience of, you know, receiving eternal life, which Adam lost in the garden. Because we understand when he resurrected, the sister that came to touch him, he said, don't touch me because I've not yet gone to my father and your father. So that could be his going to heaven, to the place where God really, the God the Father really is. But before then, he had not gone up there. So the paradise he promised the thief, which he actually gave because he cannot promise and fail, the thief actually went to paradise that same day that he promised him, because the thief received eternal life in his soul that day. Amen. So that is what I used to understand. Praise God.
All right.
I've got one last little thought to throw out there. When Larry started to speak about the hundredfold reward, I feel like the Holy Spirit just popped a little thought into my mind. And the scripture came to me where it talked about the 30, 60, and hundredfold. And so the thought was, maybe that 100 is not a number per se, but more just a fullness. Your reward is going to be a fullness of the Spirit. You know, maybe not exactly 100 times of what it is now or whatever. Anyway, that's what hit me.
Well, didn't he say that they're going to have the reward now and in the future?
Yes, I think so, but that wouldn't change it in my mind. In other words, it's not so much that it meant 100 times better than what it is now. It might have just meant you're going to get the fullness of what the Spirit of God has to offer, which is a big fullness.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm thinking one of the things that they were going to have is mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, things that they've given up, and homes now and in the future. And thinking in the now, you know, the places that I have traveled and the homes that I have been a part of, that have been my home in these travel, there is no way that I could ever, ever pay all this back to what was given to us in our travels. I don't know how many. Maybe there's 100. I don't know. But we found out there brothers, sons, daughters, grandchildren that have come into this word. I see Opie's nodding his head. Well, have we come to an end already? Is that all there is for heaven for today? You know, I don't know anybody that has ever really gone really into heaven. I mean, really in. I don't know, you know, this person that was describing their mansion and all that, I don't know where they went. I don't, like I said, Paul said he went into the third heaven. Now he really got up there and he saw things that he said were not even lawful for him to talk about. The only one that I know that got close is Sister Janet before my time with her, when she was giving birth to Dana. And he's got to be 60 years old by now. But when she was giving birth, she died and she left the whatever operating room or wherever she was in, and she went up to the gate of heaven. She said she was up at the gate and she saw the gate or the door, whatever it was. And as soon as she came and approached that gate, she heard a voice that said, "Send her back. It's not her time. And she shall be a witness unto me." And she said she came back into that, I'll call it a delivery room, I guess. She came back into that delivery room. She saw herself coming back down into the hospital, through the roof of the hospital, through the ceiling of that room, and smack, it was a loud sound when she went back into her body. And apparently she had died temporarily because her vitals had all stopped and they started up again and she became conscious. And the doctor was standing there and he said something like, "Oh, welcome back." And she said, "Oh, well, then it's all over." And he said, "No, it's not all over. You haven't had your child yet." So that was the story that she told me, and she told me several times, and that's the way it happened. But she never got into the gate. She said she saw it from somewhat of a distance, and the loud voice was, "Send her back." So a view of heaven, but not in. That's the heaven we're talking about today. Well, I'll turn the recording off.